a recovery swim. So here goes. Guys, it is just so hard to breathe in here. There's no air. I can't live like this. I can't do this. And look at my hair. I'm gonna have to wash it on my own now. What a disaster this is.
Welcome back to SEN Afternoons. That full-time professional tennis player Alan Perez and maybe part-time comedian posting a video on her social media channels there now. She wasn't swimming in a lap pool. She was doing some freestyle in the bath just to give us a look into what quarantine is like. And Alan has been good enough to join us this afternoon. Afternoon, Alan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very, very crisp stuff there. Is that just, are you going to do a few more of those videos throughout quarantine, or is that just a one-off?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have much good content left in me. So if I think of something, maybe I'll post more.
Nah, it was very good. Now, just take us through your experience. You're over in the Middle East for qualifying, and you've just arrived back and now doing your hard quarantine. Just take us through your experience over in the Middle East.
Yeah, I was in Dubai for the Australian Open qualifying, and I was supposed to leave on the last charter flight out of Dubai on Friday around 11:30. And just before boarding the flight, I kind of mentioned that I had this runny nose, and because I had done my COVID test maybe 2 or 3 days before the flight, and you know the symptoms had kind of come over last night before the flight, they were worried that it could potentially be COVID, and they didn't want to risk infecting the plane. So I had to go back and take another COVID test and isolate. And then, yeah, I was negative. And I then had to have another COVID test and had to look for a flight to finally get home, which wasn't the easiest, but was able to get a little bit of help from Tennis Australia. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you had a bit going on over there. So which hotel they got you in at the moment?
I'm currently at the Pan Pacific in Melbourne, so close to the DFO.
And so you're only a couple of days in. So what's your sort of routine during the day looking like? We've spoken to a few players on the station over the last couple of days, but how are you filling in the time?
Yeah, I love my sleep in, so I'm attempting to sleep in. I feel like the jet lag's kind of had that hit and miss a little bit. But, yeah, I get on my computer, a little bit of social media in the mornings, and try and do a little bit of a workout somewhat in the middle of the day, get back on my computer again. Yeah, I don't know. I speak to a lot of friends. I've done a lot of FaceTiming. So, yeah, I'm keeping busy. But, yeah, I'm sure maybe after the first week I'll get a little bored.
So just take us through. I mean, obviously it was just a little bit of fun. You're putting up that video, but we like to try and read between the lines. Are you sort of, were you suggesting there that maybe some of the players have been a little bit precious with their reaction to quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, everyone responds a little differently to the situation. Obviously, some feel like they're hard done by, but then others have been really respectful and really appreciated the opportunity just to be in Australia. So, I mean, I was just poking fun at some of the, I guess, a little more ridiculous things done and said, but it's more in just like a keep myself positive, something to do and just have a laugh with everyone. But, yeah.
Speaking to Australian tennis player Alan Perez, I mean, in fairness, do you think we're... Some people have been a little bit hard on the tennis players. I mean, there has been a couple that have obviously been a little bit unhappy and they've brought that across on their social media channels and therefore there's been a lot of focus on that. But would it be fair to say the majority are pretty happy with the situation and they're just thankful that they've got the opportunity to play in the Australian Open?
Yeah, definitely. I know amongst a lot of the girls I'm speaking to, they're very appreciative of just being in this situation and looking forward to the opportunity to be in a COVID-free country post this lockdown. So for the most part, I think there's definitely a lot of respect there. Yeah, obviously everyone's going to have their little whinge or behind the scenes and their thoughts, but some of it's warranted at times and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, the most thing is that they're all trying to be pretty respectful now.
Obviously, there was a lot of talk about the request that Novak Djokovic put forward to Tennis Australia. And yesterday, via his own social media channels, he tried to explain his reasons and what he was doing it for and the reasons for doing it. What did you make of some of those requests that Novak put forward?
To be honest, I haven't read them all. I actually don't even know what he's put forward. I did see just the one about the house with the tennis court.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of what was made light on social media a bit. And I mean, I think some of it was probably ill-informed. You know, the players are obviously wanting these things to happen, and I think he just wanted the best for the players. He's just trying to speak up and be that that platform to help them out. I don't. There's obviously no other thing behind it for him. He's not gaining anything from it other than hate right now. So I think it was just he was, you know, the maybe poorly used request, but I think he was just trying for the best for the players, to be honest.
You're currently ranked 47th in the world in doubles. How are you feeling ahead of the Australian Open in terms of your own form?
I was feeling really confident and good. Maybe a little nervous now just to see where my tennis will be at post this lockdown. Obviously, a big concern is just injuries and not coming back too quickly and doing too much too soon. But no, I am confident. I've played with Dasha before and we've done well. So I am confident in this team and hopefully we can just get off to a good start.
I'd imagine you and Dasha like to have a bit of fun on the court as well. You both seem to have pretty good sense of humours.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure some people kind of tuned into our last quarantine that we did together. We like to be pretty social and have a good laugh and take the light side of every situation. So hopefully we play well and we can, have a good laugh out there.
So between the end of your quarantine and the start of the Australian Open, what have you got planned in terms of matches, training, et cetera?
Yeah, so I get out the 2nd of February and the Australian Open starts the 8th of February. So I'm in a pretty tight time frame. There was obviously that 500, WTA 500, the week before starting on the 1st. And I probably will just miss that. And it's probably not smart of me just to play anyway the first day out of quarantine. So I think I'll just train for those 6 days and really prepare and hopefully be ready for around the 10th when doubles starts.
And just for the fans out there that don't know a lot about your story, you spent some time in the States. Just take us through your journey so far in tennis.
Yeah, I guess my most serious starting point was when I was 16. I moved to Melbourne for 2 years, been living here away from home. And when I was 18, I decided to go to college in America. I went to the University of Georgia and studied sport management there for about 3 years before deciding to go pro. That was back in 2017, yes. I've been playing on the tour for the past 3 or so years and, been loving it.
I mean, well, obviously in tennis there's a lot of focus on the big guns and there's been a bit of talk in the last couple of days that, some of the players aren't happy with some of the preferential treatment, I guess, some of the big guns get. In a situation like yours, you're trying to make your name in the game. You've only been on the tour for 2 or 3 years, as you mentioned. At times, how much of a slog is it?
I mean, yeah, it's always tough. I think everyone thinks it's, the most charmful life ever, traveling the world and, going all these places and playing. But no, it is tough. Sometimes you're living out of a suitcase, you're going to countries, that aren't the most amazing and you are missing things with family and friends and stuff. So it is tough. But yeah, I mean, obviously those top players, players are considering it preferential treatment, but, they're in the position they are. They deserve that kind of respect and those advantages because they are what makes the sport keep running and selling the tickets and, making the money for us. So I don't have a problem with it, but I think Tennis Australia does an amazing job in just making sure that everyone's got the ability to, train and get what they need out of every situation. So whether they get, the extra benefits or not, I don't think it really matters.
Well, Alan, good luck, but hope you keep nice and busy as you can in quarantine. And if you get any more inspirations for a bit of humour, make sure you you put them up on your Twitter page.
Yeah, I will do.
Great. Thanks for your time. Alan Perez, Australian tennis player who had a bit of fun in lockdown yesterday. As we mentioned off the top of the show, one of the big stories today surrounds Margaret Court and the news, the leaked news, disappointing it was leaked out really, but that she'll be named a Companion of the Order of Australia next Tuesday. It hasn't gone down well with a lot of people, including the Victorian Premier Dan Andrews.
I do not support that.
Why?
You know my views on a whole range of issues. I'm being honest with you, I do not support that. I don't believe that she has views that accord with the vast majority of people across our nation that see people, particularly from the LGBTIQ community, as equal and deserving of dignity, respect and safety. I don't believe she shares those views and I don't believe she should be honoured because of that.
Do you think we should rename the stadium?
That's a matter for others. You've asked me a question about an Australia Day honour. I've answered it. I don't propose. Again, I'm like quite sick of talking about that person every summer. We finish up having this discussion in one form or another every single summer. I would prefer not to be giving oxygen to some of these views, but you've asked me a question and I've answered it honestly. I do not support that, but I don't give out those gongs. That's not a matter for me. That's for others. You might want to speak to them about why they think those views, which are disgraceful, hurtful and cost lives, should be honoured.